Welcome to Skills of the Future, a podcast by Perennial Talent. In this mini-series, we explore how to apply skills and competencies to the world of work.
Welcome to our Skills of the Future podcast. Our theme for the series is HR Game Changers, applying skills and competencies to the world of work. My name is Dan Vanderwerf. I'm principal consultant and co-founder at Perennial Talent. In this episode, we will be talking to Hannah Yardley about employee recognition, employee engagement, and retention. Hannah is a senior talent leader with over 20 years of experience in the private, venture capital, private equity, and public sectors. After over a decade of consulting to a variety of global organizations, she joined Achievers as their chief people and culture officer. Her mandate is to empower employee success through all facets: employee engagement, organizational effectiveness, organizational development, and talent strategy. She is keen to make the world a better place through irresistible employee experiences and leading-edge people and product development. Hannah, welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy to have you on today.
Thank you, Dan. Very excited to be here. Every time I add the number of years I've been at this, it makes me cringe because it just makes me feel older and older. So I think I'm going to stop credentializing myself for 20 years.
Fair enough. So I usually like to start these off with a nice little icebreaker question just to get the conversation juices flowing. So can you tell me about the best thing that you have watched or read lately?
Sure. This one's really relevant as I just got back into playing soccer in post-COVID world. And I'm a really huge believer in the power of sport professionally and personally. I think it's just such a great place to character build, you know, really testing traits that impact your entire life. I often talk about it being like a really great refresher of the characteristics you learn in kindergarten about like playing nicely with each other. So I'm totally obsessed with the All for Nothing series that's on Prime Video right now. It's a series that follows major sports teams all around the globe in their journey. And it's reality TV. So it's like just enough drama to keep me coming back for more every time and a few great sports lessons along the way.
Awesome. That's a great recommendation. So switching gears to our more talent management-esque questions. So how do you think the pandemic and the new realities of work have impacted employee retention?
Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest understatements of the century right now is talking about work and retention. It comes up all the time. You know, there's a huge number of meteoric shifts. And I think there's a bunch that are really interesting, and I'll talk about a few that I think are most relevant in my space right now. One being under the control of employees and the other under the control of the organization. So first, with the pandemic, there's one of the largest driving factors of change that I've seen throughout the pandemic is this balance of choice that's really pushed towards the employee experience and are in the hands of the employee. So for so long, employee experience was really what the organization delivered to the employees. And most of the time it was honestly what people and employees were looking for. But they were areas that organizational choices tended to be more traditional. So things like remote work, hours of work. And there's been a really dramatic shift in what employees want in those policies, particularly for organizations that have been really slow at adapting. Mm-hmm. It will continue to impact their retention. And that shift of balance and that power, or whatever you want to call it, over towards the employees and truly being able to say what they want and get what they want is a really interesting outcome of the pandemic. And an organization's ability to be able to react to that, those needs, is really impacting retention. And organizations that can't, are seeing higher retention all around.
Absolutely. I've also seen that on the hiring side too, that like if a company is trying to hire people and they don't really clearly articulate what those employees value, then people aren't even accepting jobs at these companies either.
That's right. And so the threshold to be able to find those employees or backfill those that you're losing, mm-hmm. is even, well, I mean, we've all heard the statistics before, right? You know, 30, 50, 75% of an employee's salary to go out to try and get someone new to backfill that position is just a massive amount of effort and energy that goes into it. And then what we have is a higher threshold or bar because organizations are having to really articulate that employer brand, that employee value prop all along the way.
Exactly.
Yeah. The second one is, so if we talk about like the change on the employee side, there's definitely a change from an organization's point of view as well. And it's really been around their inability to shift to a place that accommodates those needs of their employees. You know, a ton of employees are talking about how, and at the start, we seem to like have this early stage bubble where employees were reacting really well in the moment. Their crisis communications and their crisis changes were actually pretty decent. But now that we're 2 years in, crisis management in terms of the employee experience just doesn't work. And a ton of people out there, I think it's something like 2/3 of employees are saying that their company culture is diminished as a result of the onset of the pandemic. And most employees are placing that blame back onto the organization. You know, they're not communicating well. They're not helping to make their remote employees feel connected. And when you then put on the fact that employees are really concerned about how they're being perceived by working remotely, you know, employees have concerns around things like, you know, worrying about their own productivity. So not just their productivity, but worrying about their manager, thinking about how well they're working remotely. That really then leans in on the fact that the organization needs to really, really work on building that remote culture, building that hybrid culture, building that post-pandemic culture. There's just so many layers and facets that are built on top of each other there, and really lean into that employee experience. Otherwise, you know, I think we'll continue to see these retention numbers at the skyrocketing levels that they are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Great points. So what are some of the challenges that you've seen when it comes to retaining talent? And I'm curious if there's any roles or areas where this is particularly salient.
Yeah, challenges are abundant. No lack of choices in that list, that's for sure. And it's certainly an area that I've been exploring a lot lately, particularly because the industry that I'm in. So I'm in tech, and salary inflation has been absolutely outrageous. You know, 30 to 60%, if not more, increases as people jump from job to job. Certainly the globalization of the talent market is really leaning in there. So interestingly, there are some role specifics around scarcity of talent in things like engineering, but really the whole tech industry, whether you're in product or in HR as an example, that tech industry we're really seeing a scampering in movement about. But the research that we're conducting right now is looking at the differences between why employees are considering leaving versus why they're considering staying. And we focus so much time in exit interviews, exploring why people are leaving, but by that point, they've already made their decision. And so we're really trying to investigate and figure out why people are staying and lean in on those areas, because those are the people that we can influence and impact. And in particular, I just talked about the outrageous salary inflation that's going on. Mm-hmm. And compensation and benefits are one of the main reasons why people consider leaving, but it doesn't rank nearly as high or nearly as importantly on the reasons why people stay. And so when we can start to target those reasons why people stay before they're looking, it's such a critical factor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a bunch of areas that tops our list of research, not surprising, work-life balance being one of those, you know, and we just talked about how much that's been in jeopardy since the pandemic already, and why one of the many reasons why this pandemic's been such a trigger for attrition is because of that work-life balance. And The second factor is really about recognition. So knowing that employees are feeling less connected and they have concerns about managers doubting their productivity, it's obvious that the reason that recognition comes in close second there.
That's very cool. It's neat that kind of the levers or factors for why people might leave aren't the same as why they might stay. I find that very interesting. That's cool.
Yeah, and we focused so much time, as I said previously, on those exit interviews. Mm-hmm. And so what we're learning is only a part of the story. and a part of the story for people that have already made the decision to lean out. And if we can get to those factors that are helping them stay and not look, then those are some really critical factors that really influence our decisions and some of the work that we're doing right now at Achievers. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So we know that employee engagement is a critical factor for retaining your people. So what do you think organizations can do to make sure that they are doing employee engagement right?
Yeah, for me, this is all about the employee voice. So we just spoke about the shift in balance of choice or balance of power when it comes to that employee experience. And so there's no world, there's no dark corner in which organizations can ignore the voice of the employee anymore, truly. And don't get me wrong, most organizations are getting better at it. They really are. This has been an instrumental shift and just a massive shift in the last 2 to 5 years, implementing things like continuous listening and continuous learning. And that's all really, really critical in that employee voice. And what I really love about our Achievers process is that we use these things called listening sessions. And while all organization data is really interesting and helpful, we spend a ton of our time in these listening sessions geared towards micro actions, team and department level actions, to really removing those barriers that people are encountering. And I think that's a really special piece and a really important piece in that concept of retaining talent is if you need to hear from your employee, there are only so many actions you can take at that macro level, at that all organizational level. When you tease apart and get to those things that are at the department or the individual level, then that's really great, really awesome, and really has the most impact that you're looking for because it's meaningful and it's relevant to the world that you're in right now. And when you take it that to the next level, you take it down to the individual level, not just the team or department, you're asking them about what they need in their role and their job or the competencies that they need to grow and be successful in what they do. And that's where real and true action takes place with employee voice.
Absolutely. So obviously critical piece of employee voice is actually like doing something with the information that you hear. So do you have any advice in terms of that? Like, so you've heard all these things from the employees and what's kind of the next step to make sure that you're actually taking action with what you've heard?
Yeah, you hit the problem right on the head there. That's exactly it. Organizations, and I think it's something like a third of organizations or a third of employees at organizations say their manager and their employer is only okay at acting and talking about the feedback and making changes on it. And about 20% of organizations are horrible at it. And that's I love that word because it's so true because they never do anything with that feedback. There is nothing worse than asking an employee what they want and then doing nothing with it. The concept of inaction fatigue is so critical. Yeah, absolutely. And so I think the things that I alluded to before are some ways to make those actions feel real. Mm-hmm. So, great, we've got all organization recharge days, an opportunity for everybody to step away and think about and not have other people pinging them on this day off. I love those all organization actions like that. The mm-hmm. idea of recharge days are so cool. But I'm a true believer, and that's why I mentioned that action that Achievers is taking that I think is really, really impactful. It's getting it down to a level that is meaningful, and that is at the department level, and that is at the individual level. It can't just be at the macro level for all organization.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think also being as transparent as possible, like, okay, we've heard all the things that you're unhappy with or recommendations that you have, here are some things that we're going to start right now. And these other things are a bit broader and longer term. So it's not on a radar to tackle them right now, but we have heard you and we are going to try to make some changes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The time to turn it around too, mm-hmm. Is really important. So if you're pulsing once a year, twice a year, that's not enough to have an impact in what employees are looking for right now. And we know the time to turn around to take on a new role and the advent of the idea that all of the, all job interviews are being conducted online right now. You don't have to find time in your calendar to traipse down to downtown Toronto to go and have a job interview anymore. So like the time to turn around is so short, and the time to make decisions is so much quicker these days as it relates to the job cycle, that if you're not going after employees' concerns in the moment, then you're 10 steps behind already.
Yeah, totally. So I want to shift gears a bit to rewards and recognition. So we know that rewards and recognition are also super important for employee engagement and retention. So how can organizations ensure that they are rewarding and recognizing their employees effectively?
Yeah, total rewards is such a massive opportunity for organizations, but often overserved on the compensation side and tend to be underserved in those areas that you just talked about, such as recognition, belonging, career pathing, development. And like no surprise, I work for a recognition company, but behind compensation and cash rewards, recognition is actually the next highest ranked form of total rewards. It's top in class when it comes to the most effective non-financial rewards. So not surprising that that's the business that I'm in, because it's so important to the employee experience. It's it's so critical, and when it's done right, it motivates, it encourages the right behaviors, it aligns teams to organizational purpose, ultimately really building towards that culture that you want. A key message here, and it's probably really painfully obvious, is what we just talked about, is that the research is great, but it only points us in the right direction. So knowing that recognition is the top ranked non-financial reward, excellent, we know that, but if you don't act on it properly, then it doesn't get you anywhere. And I just talked about that when it came to the employee voice and the feedback, and I'll reiterate it here too. Great to know what your employees want, great to know what best in class looks like, but like any other good and successful program, it needs to be well-defined, it needs to be focused, it needs to be driving towards the outcomes that you're really looking to achieve. And with recognition, it needs to be frequent. It needs to be timely, two things we already touched upon. It needs to be specific. It needs to be values-based. And if you can make it public, that's even better, because then what you're doing is you're creating this great virtuous cycle of reinforcement throughout the entire organization.
Yeah, nice. Love those tips. And like, it's something that can be pretty easily done too, right? Like, it's not this big, costly thing. Like, just give people frequent, timely, specific, and public feedback, right? Like, it's a pretty easy win, it sounds like.
It is. I mean, I do research does show that when you can programatize it, you get better outcomes. So when you can create programs around it, create learning so people understand what it is, and really focus attention on the areas that are impactful for your business, that's helpful. So it's helpful to create programs around it versus just opening up the dialogue and saying that our recognition is really important for your business. But it is as simple as those five things that really can help you launch it off. And I get often the questions that I get the most around how to create or modernize a recognition program is A, the base business case. And second is how to get leadership to buy in. And to be honest with you, that the business case is really clear, that the concept of simplicity is a big one in that business case, but it's also a force multiplier. So when you implement recognition programs, it's not just about the employee sentiment that you're improving, but it's the relationship with their manager. They're more likely to work harder. It improves retention. There's early research in the space that actually can lower error rates and safety instances. And all of that gets amplified when you programatize it along the way. So some really interesting tertiary impacts that it has or multipliers when you look at the impact of recognition itself beyond the idea that it has a great impact on employee engagement. But all of that doesn't work unless you've got leadership buy-in. And the business cases certainly are a really good first step for that. You know, the idea that it's, you're, you know, consolidating programs and, you know, the administration of all of that is really helpful. But the idea that you need to get your leaders bought in and living these, this is a concept every day is a really important place to get there to make it impactful.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Do you ever see organizations kind of link that to their kind of core mission, vision, values type thing? Like, we want to have a culture where we recognize and support one another, or like something like that, that kind of helps with that buy-in piece?
Yeah, 100%. That is all about focusing in on the outcomes that your organization wants to have as a result of your recognition program, or insert any program in there.
True.
Insert, right? That you want to make sure you align it to organizational values, and recognition is no different here, because what you're doing is you're driving behaviors in an area and in the areas that are important to your business, important to your people. And it doesn't just have to be financial. It can be all of those great values that we throw up on our wall every day or show on our website. You're really directing people to start to lean in on that. And that's where we're seeing culture build, because what you're seeing is a multiplier around those things that you think are really important or unique or really critical in making your organization successful. And not only are you focusing people in on those behaviors, you're rewarding those. And great, when it's public, you're letting other people know that people are getting rewarded or employees are getting rewarded for those behaviors.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Awesome. Love that. All right. So my last question for you today is kind of a broad, open-ended one. Just wondering if you have any advice or tips for other HR professionals out there who might be looking to improve how they reward, recognize, and engage their employees.
Yeah, lots of really great themes throughout our dialogue today. So I'll reiterate a couple of those right now. In particular, given there's such a massive competition out there for talent right now, and so much of that is focused on rewards, cash rewards, I really love the idea that recognition is not compensation related, yet we know that it's so critical in those factors, particularly those factors as to why people stay, not just why they leave. We talked about it really being that force multiplier. So it echoes so much more beyond the idea of employee engagement and retention, but the impact that it has on the relationships with employees and their managers, with the organization. It really focuses people in on those organizational values in a way that's really critical for your business, because it aligns to the direction that you're trying to take your organization. But as I would describe, all of that is for naught if you're not really purposeful in the design of it, if you're not really focusing in on those things that reflects the employee voice and what is important to them and is driving organizational outcomes.
Awesome. Love that. So Hannah, that was my last question for you today. So I want to thank you so much for being a guest on our podcast and sharing all your insights on everything recognition, engagement, and retention. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for your time. It was lovely to chat.